Hey girl, hey, and welcome to the Wellness Mission Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Peel, a former fat soldier turned wellness coach, here to help my sisters in uniform break the cycle of being on the military weight control program. In this episode, we're talking about the numbers. We're breaking down the numbers of how many troops are on the weight control program, why women have a higher number than men, or the Army sees a higher number of troops on weight control than the Marines. So we're breaking it down by the numbers. Sit back, relax, and let's get started. On this episode, we're going to talk about the numbers. We're breaking down the numbers of wellness, weight, and sleep within the military. What you'll hear, my papers moving because I did a report on this and the numbers are crazy. So we'll get right into it. Let's just jump right into it. This is going to take more than one episode to break down the numbers, to break down things that are going to trigger me that when I was writing this up, I was like, man, that's crazy. So Military Times published an article about a 2018 RAND report. And it was a report on health and disease prevention. And it painted such a grim picture of physical fitness and sleep standards within the military. 2018 RAND report. So the study featured roughly 18,000 randomly selected participants across each service. So first off, 18,000 is a small number compared to the total number of people on active duty. It is a small number, period, but it is a window, it is an eye into the window of what's going on in the military now when it comes to weight. So, 18,000 participants across each service, and it showed that 66% of service members are considered to be overweight or obese. And that's according, based on the Military Body Mass Index as the standard. 18,066% of those people are considered to be overweight or obese. Broken down by service, the Army leads the way. The highest number of overweight troops, 69.4% of the 18,000. 69.4% of Army troops are overweight. Second is the Coast Guard, 67.8%. The Navy, 64.6%. The Air Force, 63.1%. And the Marines at 60.9%. So those were the numbers based on service of people that are considered to be overweight or obese, according to the Military Body Mass Index, using that as a standard. The report also highlighted the inability of those service members, back to the 18,000, of those to get adequate sleep. So if you don't think that your weight affects how you sleep, you are wrong. So talked about service members and their inability to get adequate sleep. Nearly 9% of military personnel report taking sleep medications daily or almost daily. So think about that. Do you take sleep medications daily or almost daily? What was interesting about that was the way it was broken down. So the Marines, for instance, the Marines came in at 60.9% of the participants that were considered overweight or obese. The Marines came in last. Army came in first. The interesting thing about the sleep part is the Army had still the highest percent, 10.6% of soldiers routinely consume sleep aids. However, the Marines come in second. So the Marines have the lowest number of service members that are on the weight control program, but they have the second highest number of Marines that are taking sleep aids daily or almost daily to help them sleep. So I found that interesting, that there's some bridge that's connecting why Marines can't sleep, but they're also still one of the fittest services. So that was interesting. So the Army, 10.6% of soldiers that were selected, that participated in this study, 10.6% routinely consume sleep aids. 9.9% of the Marines consume sleep aids daily or almost daily. And that's followed by the Air Force at 7.5%. And then the Navy at 6%. So again, those numbers, talking about sleep and talking about being obese or overweight, are where we are now. The article talked about different types of health. They talked about in this study, talked about their sexual health, large number of service members being contracting STDs. So just a bunch of stuff that people in uniform are dealing with, which will contribute, go back to, be a factor in being overweight. So those categories, do you fall into any of those categories as far as needing a sleep aid daily or almost daily, or being overweight or even obese in the military? The financial cost, another thing that the report talked about, was the financial cost to the military when you're overweight. When I was writing this up, I was sitting and thinking about my ACU uniform. I served at a time when we went from BDUs to ACUs. And same thing with my BDUs. The top was always extra large because I was shaped like a pear. I was always bigger at the, so I was upside down pear. So I was bigger at the top and smaller at the bottom. So I had an extra large top on to cover my tummy. And then I had large ACU bottoms on, but I couldn't button that top button. And if I put on extra large ACUs, they were too big. They just weren't comfortable, didn't complement, nothing. So I could squeeze into the large bottoms, but I had to have an extra large top. Was glad when it came with the ACUs that zipped, because them BDU buttons were hollering. So yeah, I was part of the problem and not the solution. So those are the things that we want to get deeper into. Like I said, the numbers, by the numbers, is going to be a lot deeper than one episode or two episodes, because the numbers are crazy. They're staggering. They're crazy about how many people are currently overweight in the military. And again, like I said, the cost of the military to take care of overweight soldiers. Is the military doing enough for obese prevention? And the physical fitness standards are in place if you don't take advantage of them. That was one of my things. I never took advantage of doing PT. I always had something to do. That fear and that shame of, I got to lose weight before I can go to the gym on base, just kind of paralyzed me. There were girls that were going 3 days a week, 4 days a week, guys that I worked with that would say, come on, let's go to the gym. And I just, for whatever reason, couldn't. And I didn't. But then when we stand in formation and the commander of the force sergeant said the semi-annual, and it would make my stomach drop. because now it's time for the PT test and the weigh-in, and I have not put the work in these last 6 months. So now I'm in panic mode. I'm sick. I'm tired. I'm mad. I'm everything because I know what's getting ready to happen next. Barely passed the PT test. Die on the run because I haven't been running. Die on the run and then have to go get taped. And maybe I'll make it. Maybe I won't. So that struggle was constant for me. That's why we talk about breaking the cycle of being on the weight control program. That's what I want to do for you, is break that cycle. I understand going home and not having time to cook and your temper being short and you dealing with being obese. You're having a family, your kids are dealing with it, your spouse is dealing with it. You're dealing with that fear if you're on the weight control program. Are you going to get discharged? Will you lose that money coming in, the livelihood that you're enjoying? Will you lose all of that? Will you lose the health care? And once you get discharged for being overweight, it says that on your 214. So when you go and apply for a job and apply for the nonprofits around here, and they want to see your 214 to see if you're a veteran, and you apply for a job and you let them know that you're a veteran, they ask to see that 214. What do you say when at the bottom it says weight control? What do you do if you don't have enough discipline to be in the military and stay within a weight standard? What are you going to do here on our job in the civilian world where there are no standards? So what happens then if you don't even have that kind of discipline? So all of that fear, all of those things are real if you are discharged from the military because of weight. So here we are again, back at the Wellness Mission Podcast. And the purpose is to hear your story, to find out what your fears are, to let me help you, let us guide you, to hear stories from female veterans so you know that they know what you're going through. They went through it. I went through it. Still dealing with a lot of stories that I think I've compartmentalized in my brain. And as they come up, I'll start talking about them, about just being an overweight soldier. Again, having the ACUs or the BDUs that were two different sizes. Got an extra large top. You got an extra large bottom because you are shaped like a pear. You got an extra large bottom and you got a large top. So just all of those things, I vividly remember all of those things. So now what do we do? We want to hear your story. We want to hear your story. We want you to, email us, the Wellness Mission Podcast, email us so we can hear your story. And the email address is twmpod@gmail.com. twmpod@gmail.com. So again, we're breaking down the numbers. There are a ton of numbers to break down. We'll do this in more than one episode. But that's that. We're breaking down the numbers. Thank you for listening. Bye. Hey guys, thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you are a female in uniform or a female veteran, please reach out to us. I would love to hear your story. Email us at twmpod@gmail.com. twmpod@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. I would love to interview you so everyone can hear your story. Also, don't forget to swing over to NicolePeelWellness.com. Submit your email so we can stay in touch. And again, thanks for listening to the Wellness Mission Podcast.